From a secret location in room 100 of 540 Jack Gibbs Boulevard, this is Craft.
This is Kayla Geyer, the summer intern here at Craft. I'm very excited to be here with the young adult author, Mindy Arnett. She writes in genres such as science fiction, fantasy, and horror. The sci-fi novel Avalon hit stores this past January, and her latest novel, The Nightmare Dilemma, came out this past March as a prequel to the Arkwell Academy series. Well, it's an honor to have you here today.
Thank you.
Your new book, Avalon, just hit stores this past January, with the main character being Jeff, a rebel with a cause. How do you start the process of creating an alternative futuristic reality?
I always start with characters, and situation. With Avalon, it had to do... It started with the fuel crisis that we went through, after 9/11, which was the rising fuel costs, and just the impact it has on people being able to live their lives and to travel, and that translated into this futuristic world. So the technology in the story, the ability to space travel, is controlled by one particular entity who is a little corrupt. And that technology is failing for some unknown reason that they don't understand. And so, therefore, prices for it have gone up, and it becomes a situation for the haves and the have-nots. So that's kind of where the situation started. And then I wanted to write a sci-fi, and I wanted to write a male protagonist, a teenager, kind of the Han Solo, Malcolm Reynolds, scrappy, anti-hero. Someone very different from myself, someone willing to break the law. And that's kind of where all my stories start, usually with the situation and the character.
What is the significance in creating a relatable hero for your readers?
Very, very significant, I think. They need to... Maybe not so much my readers as for myself. I want to write the kind of books that I would want to read, and hopefully there are other people that are like me that would want to read them as well. So my characters need to be fun. They need to be dynamic. They need to hold my own attention for the months and months of writing that I'm going to go through on a book. You do the first draft, takes about 3 months maybe, and then you go through months of editing. And so the main character needs to be somebody I love right from the very beginning. Otherwise, I'm going to get really sick of them by the end of it. So that's kind of where I start on that.
So the government system that you have created in this novel is both faulty and merciless, allowing crime bosses to dictate certain areas of space. If it weren't for a rebel with a cause and a sense of right and wrong, this would be a not-so-action-packed novel. In these sci-fi and fantasy books, you get to create your own rules, but also you have to follow them. Mm-hmm. So, in what ways have you had to, rework your core ideas or maybe go back to the drawing board?
Not very much at all, actually, especially with both books, but with Avalon. It's so based in the real world and how it really happens, especially in terms of government. The controlling entity in Avalon, it's called the Interstellar Transport Authority. They're like a government, like a police force almost. Because they have so much power and so much control, and there's nobody contesting them, there's nobody else that has this technology for sale. Therefore, they can do what they want. And it also creates, it's what enables the crime lords to be able to steal and resell because there's only the one competition going on there. That happens very much today, especially in terms of energy. Even within your own community, like where I live, we have one sole energy provider. It's called the Dayton Power and Light. And that's where everybody gets their energy from. Hardly anybody else goes with anybody else. Nobody can really compete with them. And so they can dictate a little bit on how much you pay and when you pay. And it's, as a homeowner, that's kind of frustrating because you don't have freedom when you have only one person controlling all the power. The same thing is going on a little bit with the federal government. The same thing definitely happens with big oil, and the Saudi countries that have all this money and this power. And, we have to pay what they want because they have what we need. And there's really not a good alternative. There's not really solar power or something to replace it. So the story just, the rules of my world follow rules that have already been established. Really, from the dawn of time, the same kind of roles. So.
Focusing now on the Arkwell Academy series, especially the second book that was released this past March, The Nightmare Dilemma, you have created a character that literally is a nightmare. who goes into her boyfriend's bedroom and invades his dreams, which are, we find out, are premonitions. Hope that wasn't a spoiler from the first
book. No, it's not.
Okay. What is interesting about fantastical plots is that you're able to create those own rules. What made you, compared to like Avalon, what made you create more of a fantastical setting for the Arkwell series?
Well, Arkwell came first. Fantasy is my first love. I do love science fiction. Fantasy is my first love. Magic, and I love the macabre, and I love horror, and, you know, supernatural. Anything like that just really, really, really speaks to me. And there is definitely an element of that in Avalon as well. So with Arkwell, because I did it first, I love to play with the imagination and just anything goes, and I love the world building process. It's a lot more freeing than a sci-fi. So sci-fi, you know, Avalon is set in the future, so it had our own history behind it, these characters behind it, and it's a lot harder, more, you know, to think that evolution through and make it be believable. So that said, because I'm writing the series in tandem, it helps because I'm kind of using two different sides of my imagination. With Arkwell, I get to be all magic and fantasy and dreamscapes and all that fun stuff. And Avalon is it's hard and it's, you know, it's just very grounded, totally different challenge. So it keeps it really fresh and interesting for me to be able to flip between the two of them.
Okay. Now, 16-year-old Dusty has found herself solving mysteries in the nightmare dilemma again. But on top of that, she's dealing with an ex-boyfriend, all while trying not to make her current boyfriend, you know, jealous or upset. It sounds like a teenage detective novel, except for the fact that the victim was a mermaid.
Mm-hmm.
And her ex-boyfriend was acquitted of conspiracy charges, and she needs to jump from Eli's dreams/premonitions in order to solve who had done the crime. You've studied English literature in college, so I know that you're used to, like, extensive research
mm-hmm.
and, you know, the argumentative papers and all that. So how have you been able to keep, you know, your creativity going while pursuing your degrees?
Well, I didn't write my first novel until I was almost done with my master's, so that helped. I didn't write through college, but it was mostly short stories, which is kind of what you focus on in college anyways. So I don't know. I certainly would not have been able to be this productive while getting my degree. But because I have graduated and I'm a number of years beyond that, and I work a full-time job that uses very much whatever side of the brain it is, it's all technical, and I can never get it right, whether it's right or left, the opposite of the creative brain. I use that during my day job, and so my creative side is like exercising. You know, it's like working different body parts. So it says, okay, come use me. Let's play. And, you know, I'm a dreamer, daydreamer anyways. In the shower, my mind is thinking about stories, and it's just the way I'm hardwired. So when I'm forced to my day job to focus on very technical stuff all day long, by the time I'm done with that, my other side of the brain says, okay, let's go play. Let's go have fun. And it's all play for me, the writing part of it. It can be really hard. It can be really challenging, but it's like being a kid again, so.
So what advice would you, like, give to maybe your young readers that are reading it or are still in school? How would you tell them to keep their creativity?
This is going to sound very glib, but I honestly mean it. Get enough sleep. You're probably like, what? What kind of answer is that? It's true. It's true of myself anyways, and I've always been this way. I have to get enough sleep, and I have to get good sleep in order to have maximum output in my day. If I've gotten bad night's sleep, my creativity the next day is like, it's like non-existent. So for me, good sleep, good health, make sure that you're using your body as well as your mind, because that will happen to me as well, where I've worked so hard on my brain all day and then I'm feeling dead and I'll go and work out and all of a sudden I'll feel better and then I can do some more work. So it's amazing how much creativity is connected to your body in those sense.
Right. So I picked up your Arkwell Academy student guide. So is this all the vocabulary from the series?
Kind of. It's just I just picked highlights. That is definitely a marketing tool. The school itself is very fun for me, and hopefully for readers. And so I just wanted to give them an idea of kind of the wackiness that's going on in the school, and the animation effect where normal objects like the chair we're sitting on – the detectives, the teen detectives, they hang out in a room that's pretty haunted. There's a lot of magic in it, and it affects the objects in the room. And so there's a chair that's like a dog, and it like wants to be petted, and it will buck you off if you treat it badly. And just it's just I just really wanted it to be really a fun environment, basically the kind of school I would want to go to if I could, where anything could happen. And there's suits of armor that guard the doors, and you know they're the kind of the night security guard at night and that kind of stuff. So that's what's highlighted specifically in the guide.
Right. And what I think is interesting is as I read this, I notice like how technical it is to describe these things, but you can tell it has a very creative edge.
Thank you.
So I have to ask about the recycling guidelines. Okay. So was that just to like throw in some Go Green information?
You have book.
Monsters in the trash, the recycling bins.
It was. The green start side of it, but also just kind of, you know, I love Harry Potter, but I want to make sure that people don't pick this up and think that it's just derivative. And so obviously brownies have been done, you know, house elves, that kind of thing. And I was thinking, well, you know, I really want something unique to my story. Well, trash trolls. It's great. I mean, you know, these little creatures and how funny. And a lot of my creativity stuff in the arc wells, I try to think about the funniest, most absurd thing that could happen. And I think the idea of having something living in your trash can, you know, that can throw things at you if you make it angry is funny. And so that actually happens in the Nightmare Dilemma. You're not supposed to throw in silverware. You're supposed to, you know, if you're alone in a college dorm, you have your tray and you sort it out and you throw your trash away. And she makes a mistake and dumps her fork in the trash can, and the trash troll takes it and throws it back at her and it whacks her in the face. And so it was just funny. And it's just anything that I can play with and make a joke out of, you know, slapstick. I love Terry Pratchett kind of humor. That's what I'll do with the Nightmare Fair. So that's more where the recycling came from. So
it was good. It was great.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for agreeing to do this.
Thank you for having me. This was fun and great questions. I really enjoyed it.
You can learn more about Mindy Arnett on her website, mindyarnett.com. Like her on Facebook and follow her on Twitter at Mindy Arnett. That's Mindy with two E's and Arnett with two T's. I'm Kayla Geyer, the summer intern here at Kraft, interviewing the people who interest me and doing it the way Doug tells me to.
For more information from my guests, visit www.craftheshow.com. This is Doug Dangler. Until next time, be creative.